Hi, and thanks for tuning in for today's Dogwood Media Solutions podcast. I'm Brian Harris, one of your hosts here. Today, we have a great topic. We're doing a Q&A with one of our own marketing strategists, Becca Gordon. So make sure you sit down right now, tune in, stay tuned in. We're going to have a lot of fun on this episode. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Dogwood Media Solutions podcast. I'm Brian Harris, one of your hosts here, and this is episode 5, which is called Q&A with a marketing strategist. And that marketing strategist that we're having today, you know, first thing I have to do is be able to say strategist. It is one of our own. It's Becca Gordon.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast, Becca. It's glad to have you here.
It's good to be here.
So first thing I put on here, and we kind of had a little notes rundown before we had the podcast, is talk about how we met.
Oh gosh.
I know. So you got to reach back deep into the your thoughts and memories about that time, the first day we met.
Oh, God. Like, the thing is that, like, as opposed to anybody else that you could bring in from the office, like, I got to think way back.
I know. And I did this on purpose because I thought it would actually be a fun part of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was probably 2010? Yeah, I think it's 2010.
And so, I mean, 12 years ago, 12 and a half, really, because it was summer. And so Brian and I met because I was a youth ministry intern at Taylor Road Baptist Church, where Brian was working at the time. And the fun thing is, right before I came to work in the office, there was a Facebook post that was a photo of the youth minister's car gotten hit by a rock from the lawnmower. And there's a picture of Brian standing right next to this hole in the window with his fist. And it was like, hey, Becca, don't mess with Brian this summer.
I did. I remember standing there beside it. And I was like, Keaton was our youth minister there at Taylor Road. And he was like, make your the most challenging face you can make, like just, you know, angry. And so I was like, yeah.
It was like the hole standing like next to this car.
And it was a huge hole. It wasn't like a fist punch kind of hole. It was back part of his windshield was just gone.
Yeah, it was gone.
And just me standing there like, yeah, I did this. Watch out. Yeah, this is my area.
Yeah, it was like, heads up, Becca, you're coming into some craziness this summer.
Oh, there was a lot of that, too, because I think I was looking back at pictures from that summer, too. We had, like, just some weird things that happened. There's one, I mean, you took a picture, and it's like a regular day, and it was a picture of me on top of two chairs.
Yes.
And Keaton on top of me.
You.
Yes.
Yes.
And him pretending to hit me, which actually he might have hit me.
It's very possible.
This is maybe TMI.
Well, it wasn't violent, but, you know,
And I'm glad you had, this is a good thing that, yeah, well, I bring this up because of Keaton, and this is going to be a podcast Keaton's going to have to go back and listen to now.
For sure.
But I would be, like I said, TMI, I'd be in the bathroom. Standing at the urinal, and Keaton's fun thing that he loved to do, which I'm glad you didn't have to ever have this happen, was to come over and like just push you, and you're in that moment.
Ooh,
I know. That's the kind of person Keaton was.
Boys are weird. Like y'all never grow out of it.
Like I would be like, Keaton, come on, man. I was like, this is too far. This is like my time, you know. But he would do that. But we had a weird relationship. We also you participated in this where we'd go wake up students.
Oh yeah, Dawn Patrol.
Dawn Patrol. We'd get out there, and because it always meant I got a biscuit from Hardee's.
That's the only reason I went, was the free food.
It really was. I mean, truthfully,
because I had no desire to wake up that early.
He's like, I'll get you a monster biscuit from Hardee's and orange juice and some hash browns if you'll come join me at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And I'm like, 6 a.m. does not sound good.
Oh yeah,
he's like, I'm paying for the biscuit. I'm like,
the only deal was that y'all had to like come pick me up from my sister's house because I was like, I am not getting up early enough that I have to drive across town to meet you guys at the church.
Keaton was a big guy, and he had the tiniest little car.
It was tiny.
He was so tiny. It was a little Scion XA or something like that.
It was like a little
box. So I'm a big guy, and Keaton's an even bigger guy than I was back then. And so two of us, and you'd be in the back seat. We'd have the camera.
But see, that one at least worked better than the time that the two of you both got in the back seat of my Camry, and I thought that the trunk was going to drag.
We were bad. It was a lot of man in the back seat.
It was a whole lot of man. It was not driving Miss Daisy. Like no. I was driving the whole garden. And it was.
Dang, Becca, how do you feel about it? Yeah, you know, just saying, man. But we had a lot of fun, and it established our roots in our friendship. Absolutely. Oh, I forgot about the thing. We went to the mountains.
We went skiing.
Yes, and you were my co-pilot the entire time.
Oh yeah,
on the 15-passenger
van. Like, oh yeah, it was like
a 15-passenger van in ice. I've never driven a 15-passenger van.
Well, not only was it ice, but it was also like to get to like the ski resort. Like it was a winding road. Mm-hmm. up a mountain.
And I'm like driving this van full of all these people's kids. And I was like, thank God Becca's over there, because she was like helping me to navigate going up this place. And I was like, I needed someone who was attentive and like was talking to me the whole time. And like, literally, I think it was like 5 hours there and back. And we hung out and talked about all kinds of things.
All sorts of things.
The kids are in the back oblivious about anything we're talking about.
And oblivious to the peril that we're probably facing.
I just remember even going down the interstate, it was snowing and stuff.
Well, and even like the hotel that the guy stayed at, because the guy stayed at a different hotel than the girls. Like we were kind of like at a motel because there wasn't enough space for everybody. But like it had like a slope for y'all's parking lot that you had to like get up into.
I remember
that
now. That's right. We went down the hill to the gas station and stuff. I mean, that was a whole another experience in the hotel, because we had five guys in our room. And it was me and Keaton and Matt Gamble. And Matt Gamble walks into the room and knows the situation is about to happen and goes, I claim the sofa. I was like, you rat.
He's not a dumb guy.
We had two students in there, so that meant me and Keaton had to share a little bed. There was a whole lot of man in that bed that night. I'm just saying, like, we were like made an oath to like have back to back, but we were touching the whole night. There was no getting
around it. There's no getting around that.
And then one of the kids got sick while we were there too. And it just, these stories can go on. I feel like we're telling too much insider stories, but all this to prove a point. We've known each other for a very long time. And then after, of course, you were at Taylor Road, you went on to work at Lifeway for many years. You were at AUM, in campus ministry there. And then your marketing shift kind of happened, I'd say, more with Leadership Montgomery, was it before that?
It was probably a little bit more with Lifeway.
That's true, because you were doing an Instagram account
and
there.
And so because with Lifeway, corporate ran our Facebook, but we started an Instagram in store to be able to have a little bit more personalization. And that's really where I started looking at audience and, interactions and learning impressions versus audience versus different things, and learning what people liked, what people didn't like, what they responded to, and then curating our content to what was grabbing traction for us. And so that really got into the marketing realm for me. And so it's a fun thing. If you go onto the website, you can see my background as far as education goes is in education. Mm-hmm. I have a health and physical education degree, and here I am doing marketing. Yeah. And it's just because God has a sense of humor. But definitely the equipping, I think it started at Lifeway and really accentuated with Leadership Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, when we reconnected again, you were at Leadership Montgomery. Leadership Montgomery, in fact, you brought them to us to help build a website during the whole COVID pandemic. Mm-hmm. We were helping to build the State of Leadership, yeah, because there was the State of Leadership meetings. We built a standalone site and kind of helped with those meetings to happen online. And that's kind of how we reconnected. And then you went from Leadership Montgomery and had a dream position, basically.
Yeah.
It was created for you. As you've told me this before, that a lot of positions you've had have always been created for you.
I think every position that I've had, like even within Lifeway, it was a created position. Like my position, I was a church connection specialist. Like, it started with me, and then they put it into other stores nationwide. And so every position I've been in has been a creative position for me, which is really an interesting like transition of things. And so, which is one of the really fun things, we're skipping ahead, but really the fun things coming into Dogwood, where it's like, okay, I don't have to worry about like, what if I don't do a good enough job? Are they going to cut this position? Because when everything's been a creative position. But I think that that's been a really neat thing, because when I got my dream job, when I was able to go into Dalreda, at that point, I knew what it looked like to come into a job that was created for you. Because it's very different, because you don't have established boundaries. You don't have established rules of expectations. And so it gets really difficult sometimes when you're coming into and not knowing. They don't know what to expect from you. You don't know what their expectations are. Right. You're figuring that out.
You're like, am I doing everything they want me to do?
Right. That kind of thing. And they don't know what I can do or can't do. And so, but then going to Dalreda, it's my home church. That's my heart. That's where I was serving as a layperson. But then to be able to be on staff and really, one thing I love being is I love being somebody's right-hand person. I don't necessarily want to be leading from the front, but I want to be leading right behind it. And that's what I really felt like with Dalreda, was working with bringing technology into the churches, because churches across the board saw with the COVID pandemic the importance of having a social media presence, the importance of having a website presence, of having a digital presence in the world. And a lot of churches were not there. And so being able to help make Dalreda more efficient, to bring us forward and to really help our church minister better to our church and to our community.
And the cool thing is when you came to Dogwood from Dalreda, is we were already doing a lot of the same things for other churches.
Right.
And you were able to continue doing that for Del Rito, which was, I think, is a huge help for you because it made the transition, I think, even easier.
It did, yes.
Knowing that you're able to continue doing a lot of the work. You weren't leaving your church high and dry.
Right.
But hopefully there's tools that we have that I hope you've been able to learn from and use for your clients that have been able to help better your church a little bit, too.
Well, that's so much of why I wanted to come to Dogwood was I had have the utmost respect for Dogwood. Like, and I'm not saying this because I work here now, like, you know, I've brought multiple customers to Dogwood mm-hmm. through recommendations because I respect the level of product that Dogwood produces. I respect the fact that the community respects Dogwood. Like it's something that we've got a great reputation and it's for a reason. Mm-hmm. But I also knew that I could come in, I could learn a lot by being at Dogwood. There was stuff that I didn't know. And I could only help the businesses that I was at, the churches that I was at, the nonprofits I was at, with as much as I knew. I don't have an education background in this. And so coming to Dogwood was bringing what I know, but also learning here from people that have a better idea of what they're doing.
Well, let's deep dive into that a little bit more because this is a Q&A of a marketing strategist. So let's talk about like, what's a typical day like for you now?
So for me, it's coming in and I have a slate of clients that I'm working with. And the very first thing I'm looking at is social media. Mm-hmm. It's looking at, you know, what in the past 12 hours that I haven't been at work, you know, 14 hours I haven't been at work, what's been going on? You know, who's been commenting, who's been sharing, who's been interacting. And that's good and bad.
Yep.
You know, that's the reality of it. And being able to say, okay, are there any fires that need to be put out? And if not, okay, let me look towards what content needs to be going out today. A lot of my clients I have scheduled out a month ahead. Mm-hmm. And so, but there are some that, for example, the Alabama Baptist and Baptist Paper, where they are continually putting out articles. And so it's helping out with getting those out further into, you know, people's spaces. And so it's really, that's how I start my day. I had a friend, we were talking recently with a friend of ours, and he said, basically, your job is being a hype person for other people.
Yep.
And I was like, I want to use that to, like, when people ask, hey, what do you do? I just want to be like, I'm a hype person.
It's true.
For other companies, other businesses. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just such a great definition of what I do.
Yeah.
Is I help my clients and push out like, hey, this is why they're awesome. This mm-hmm. is why they're great. This is what they're offering. And something that's unique, you know, looking into my background is with my clients, I have a background in retail. I have a background in education. I have a background in nonprofits. I have a background in churches. And that's a lot of who we offer services yep. to. And so I'm able to bring a unique perspective as a marketing strategist because I understand who their audience is because I've worked mm-hmm. with their audience. I understand what their voice is because I've used that voice. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of with marketing is just knowing your audience and using your voice in such a way that appeals to them, that draws them in, that has them interacting with you. But also I think part of my day is by looking at how people are interacting through comments, through likes, through shares, is analyzing it. Mm-hmm. Is saying, okay, this post is doing really well. Why is it doing really well? How can I replicate that in the future? Am I seeing a pattern of things that are getting negative? Or am I seeing a pattern of things that are getting positive? And how can I make that better in the future for my clients?
Of course, the Alabama Baptist newspaper and the Baptist paper you mentioned are very different from our typical clients because
right.
they're news-oriented.
Yes.
And so like, I kind of want to talk a little bit more about the ones we do a little more pre-planning with. Of course, we do have some pre-planning parts.
Right.
We do with what we call them TAB and TBP is our initials we use in-house for the Alabama Baptist, for the Baptist paper. And they're a news organization based out of Birmingham, Alabama. They supply news with the Baptist paper throughout the country.
Right.
And the Alabama Baptist is very specific for Alabama providing news. And so we do have strategy sessions. In fact, we had one with them this week.
Right.
Just recently, kind of going over like what kind of happens with their strategy, but because they are a news organization, there's constantly news coming out. We have different things set up for Twitter where it's, you know, basically if they put out a news article, we're instantly posting those type of things. With Facebook, it's the same type of thing where we're looking at trying to, I think we have an instant post piece with that.
We do.
And then we go back in and re-highlight articles that that received really good responses and reshare those. But they're not our typical client,
right.
other than that they are Baptist and our social media. Our typical clients could be more, and I think we mentioned maybe talking a little bit more about this, about Lead Academy.
Right.
And Lead Academy is a charter school based here out of Montgomery, Alabama. They're almost 5 years old, and Beck has been able to work with them just recently. Well, not just recently, but since you walked in
right.
the door, you've been working with them and providing content. So kind of tell me a little bit more about the content cycle with them and how you're building content for them.
Absolutely. So with Lead, we're really learning a lot with Lead. Mm-hmm. And so what we started with Lead was really identifying what is Lead. Lead Academy is still, because it's young, mm-hmm. is still gaining traction of people aren't sure who they are and what they're about. A charter school is very different for Montgomery. And so a lot of what we started with identifying, hey, this is what a charter school is. This is who LEAD is. This is who we are. This is what we're about. But what we're seeing now, as far as, you know, what we do is understanding different things, is we're seeing more traction with seeing pictures of the kids. Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense.
Well, definitely.
I mean, you know, it's faces that you want to see. And so we've kind of started a shift of interacting more with our principals and saying, hey, you know, help us know what's going on so we can be able to better communicate the interactions at the school. And we've seen a big jump in that of, mm-hmm. you know, hey, like just recently they had their Polar Express Day. And so we were able to share, hey, Polar Express Day is coming up, and then share pictures of, hey, this is what it looked like. Mm-hmm. But that's some of the things that happen immediate. But as far as planning, it's looking ahead. It's always
Polar Express, but you kind of knew that was coming.
Right. I had a couple weeks to plan that up.
It's on the content calendar. You kind of have, this is, you know, it's coming. You put that that space and save it on the calendar.
Right. Yeah. And so, and then looking forward, as you know, we're looking forward towards the next month. It's looking at, okay, what holidays are coming up? What mm-hmm. school holidays are coming up? What are significant dates? For example, in the month of January, it's Board Member Appreciation Month. So we want to make sure that we're saying, hey, thanks to our board. So it's looking forward, but also planning ahead of continuing to say, this is who we are. This is what we're about. And being in broad terms as far as what a charter school is, but also in specific terms of look at our kids. Mm-hmm. Look at our scholars that we're seeing grow and learn and excel, because we're going to have more people coming to LEAD because of what they're seeing in the students than we're ever going to see in an understanding of charter school. However, both are important because they aren't going to send them if they don't know what they're about. But they don't care what they're about if they're not seeing the product of
right.
it. And so I think it's an interesting thing of being able to balance that for a customer or a client like LEAD, that we're saying, hey, help us help you. Mm-hmm. And being able to have that communication with a client where they're communicating with us, we're communicating with them, and working together as a team of understanding this is a school. They have so much stuff that they're dealing with on a daily basis. They don't have time to think about social media.
Right.
But social media is important, especially for a charter school that's brand new and trying to communicate to a community that isn't sure who they are. Mm-hmm. It's important and a crucial part because social media is how we are interacting with anybody nowadays.
Yep.
And so whether that is businesses or friends or, you know, organizations we're a part of, our social media is how we are receiving information and how we're interacting with them.
A big piece of what marketing strategists do here at Dogwood too is social media, but there's also so many other elements that you guys handle also too, because the way we set it up is you guys are the main point of contact. So for instance, LEAD Academy, they're not calling up here to our office number and going, I just need to speak to someone about doing this or that. They call up and go, hey, is Becca there?
Right.
And so they're calling looking for you because they know that you're their contact. If they need a design done, Becca's most likely not going to be doing the design for them,
right.
but she goes to our graphic designer, our creative director. She sees that process through, takes it back to the client and goes, here we go. This is what we've done for you. And so I know that's a big piece of what you're doing every day.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of it is choreographing. Mm-hmm. It's coordinating of, for example, today I had a client reach out to me saying that they had a web need. And so I communicate that with our web developers. I went over, we talked, and then within 10 minutes, he had it knocked out. I'm communicating back to my client, hey, this is taken care of, not a problem.
Right.
And so, but that's a personal connection where my client knew that she could email me, I'm going to get it taken care of. She doesn't have to worry about it again.
Yep.
And I'm communicating back, hey, it's done as quickly as within 10 minutes. Now, that's not always the case. You know, sometimes, right. you know, it's going to take a couple of days just depending on what's going on, what the problem is. But it's the confidence that a client can have of they communicate to me and they know that I'm going to take care of it.
You represent them. You
absolutely.
You're about as close to an internal person handling marketing for them as they can get. But instead of just having one person, they're getting a 13, 14 person team behind you.
Absolutely. I mean, you're going to get stellar graphics from our content team. Like that's right. just, that's one of the things that you're going to get it on brand. They're going to make it that's as they're learning you, as we learn each other and you're giving feedback and we're making those adjustments, but you're going to get professional content that looks great. We're going to work together so that if it's a website design, you have it designed well and it's clean and it's operating well. And if you have an issue where a link isn't clicking right, we're able to take care of that for you quickly mm-hmm. instead of you having to Google, hey, why is this not working?
Right.
We have a full team here.
So you shoot an email to Becca and Becca say, hey, I need this page done. And you're like, all right.
Yeah. And it's taken care of. And so it's, you have a full marketing team from design to execution to web design, any of that is in one place in one house. And so I really do feel like I am part of the team of each of my clients.
Yeah.
Of I am part of their business. I'm an important part of their business. But they're a part of us just as much.
How many clients do you have right now?
I have 7.
Okay. So that keeps you pretty busy every day.
It does. And it's fun because everybody's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a little bit different. And I've learned a lot recently, you know, within marketing about SEO, mm-hmm. about search engine optimization. I'm sure we'll have a good podcast about SEO with Beth.
We have one coming up.
Yeah. I've learned a lot from Beth about it. But it has really helped out with one of my clients. I help with writing blogs, and blog writing is so much easier when you understand SEO. Mm-hmm. And so there's just different things of trust me to learn the things so you don't have to.
Yeah.
And so that's the benefit of having Dogwood is, and I can speak from having hired Dogwood mm-hmm. of saying, hey, I don't have time to deal with this, but I trust that Dogwood can take care of it and it's going to be professional and it's going to look great. And if there's something that I don't like about it, I can communicate that. They're not going to take offense to it and they can make those changes and make those changes moving forward.
Yeah. Now, I know right now, you're not the only person. I know this because I've hired them. But as a host, I'm going to act like I don't know. But how many other marketing strategists are there on the team right now?
So we have a team of 3 marketing strategists and then our manager, Lauren Cumbie, as well.
And Lauren's also managing accounts too. And Lauren's one of our hosts here on the podcast. And we had an episode with her at the very beginning where we kind of talked more about what she does. But her main thing is she's taking care of Dogwood.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she's also helping out our clients that don't necessarily, they might not have a marketing strategist assigned to them. The reason why they don't have that is because they're not doing social media and they're not doing other things. They might just have content changes that they're working with us on. And she'll take care of a lot of those clients. And so she actually has a pretty large client amount, but they're just smaller clients and have smaller things.
Right.
And she's just trying to make sure to take care of. And of course, then Emily is on our team.
Yes.
And Emily has probably about the same amount of clients also too that you do and that she's helping on a daily basis. And Sarah Kate too. And each one of y'all, it's really neat how this happened. Because it kind of happened on accident with your education background. And Emily has more of a marketing communications background. And then Sarah Kate has a PR background.
Right.
With nonprofit emphasis. One of the things we focus on is religious institutions. And Emily's got more background in that. Our nonprofits, Sarah Kate's got a degree in nonprofit management mm-hmm. with PR as her minor. And then here you are. You're working in education with an education background.
But it's great to have the team because we're able to work off of each other.
You don't have to go to one person specifically because you can be able to feed into Sarah Kate or to Emily or anyone else that we end up hiring down the road. You'll all be able to feed off each other. And even Lauren, too. I mean, she has an English degree.
Lauren's such a great resource to have.
But she has an English degree. So people ask all the time, like, what do English people do? And it's like, they write.
Yeah.
They write a lot. They correct the other people that are writing, too. So, and that's a lot of times that's what she's doing. So it's very neat to how everyone has been individually equipped for their jobs, that they're doing the same job, but equipped different ways to do them.
Well, and I was working for a previous, I was working at Leadership Montgomery, our president, she had a great saying that I always held on to, which is all of us are smarter than any of us. Mm. And I think that's so true about Dogwood of we work together so well. And I can say this because I've only been here for a couple months and I feel like I'm so implemented and like put into this group so easily. We have such a great team here that all of us are smarter than any of us. And we work together so well to be able to help our clients be the best that they can be. And they have the best product because we're able to feed off of each other. Cause I think the same parity that you have and the disparity between our different marketing strategies, we have the same thing within our web developers. Mm-hmm. With different focuses. And so we've really fit together a team that isn't all the same.
Yep.
We fit together a team that is able to offer a lot of different perspectives and able to offer a lot of benefit to our clients because of that.
Well, we always try to keep this between 15 and 20 minutes. Truthfully, I forgot to hit the timer today. I've just had a good time talking to you. I have no clue where we're at right now on that.
That's
I have a feeling
fine.
That we're at least 15 minutes because was looking at the time and I was like, hey, I think we're probably gone over.
I'm pretty sure you and I could talk in here for way too long.
Very much so. We could just keep on going, telling stories and everything else. But I just want to thank you for joining here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course, thanks everyone for listening to our podcast too. Next week, or not next week, our next podcast, because our podcast schedule ends up being about every other week right now. Our next podcast is going to be hosted. Actually, it's going to be hosted by me again.
What?
I know.
What
two times in a row. With Lauren is going to be my guest again. She'll be back for her second episode.
That's exciting.
Yeah, because she's been hosting a couple other ones, but she'll be back as a guest on this one. And we're going to be talking about a very interesting subject about healthy social media and tech boundaries.
Ooh, boundaries.
Yep. Setting up boundaries to protect yourself from social media and tech.
I'm excited to listen to that one. That's going to be
it's a very interesting topic because it's something that everyone really needs to like put into play and use. So even us, especially us.
Especially us. Yes.
Because we're on it all the time. We have to make sure that we set boundaries. And so this is going to be a great one to listen to. And I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun having that one too. Also, we'll remind people, if you want to follow us on social media, you can go to dogwoodmediasolutions.com. All of our social media is linked there. That's dogwoodmediasolutions.com. Also, if you haven't already subscribed to our podcast, take a moment, whatever podcast platform you want to subscribe to us on. We're on like 30 different platforms. I didn't even know 30 different platforms.
There's 30 different.
I don't know how many. It's a lot of them.
But there's just a lot.
When I look at the page on our podcast page, there's like links forever. And so I don't know who uses all those things, but like the big ones were definitely on there.
Right.
You know, Apple, Google, Spotify. Yeah, you can definitely find us in those. There's, like I said, a ton of other ones. Whatever thing you want to. If there's something missing on there, if you go to Dogwood Media Solutions, hit podcast in the menu, you look on there like, I don't have my podcast thing on here. Let me know about it. We'll try to get on there too. But definitely go ahead and subscribe. Also, we just want to thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
So, we'll be back in a couple weeks for our next podcast.